You're listening to the Useful Science Podcast. This week we're talking about dog ownership and gift giving. Useful Science is a website where we post one-sentence summaries of scientific research relevant to your everyday life. On this podcast, we're bringing on a rotating panel of our science contributors to pick out a few items from the Useful Science archives and dive deep into them. So while our website gives you the short, tweetable version of scientific research, our goal here is to give you the full story. Let's meet our hosts for this week.
Hi, I'm Uyen Nguyen. I am a researcher at the Broad Institute in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I study biological interactions and cell states in cancer.
Hi, I'm Manushka Kashnovish. I recently graduated from Okayama University, and I am a microbiologist.
And my name is Cameron Spencer. I'm not a scientist. I'm a designer and a web developer, and I work on the Useful Science website. So Uyen, let's dive right into your article about dogs.
Yes. So anyway, we all know that dogs make us happy. Even looking at a puppy on Instagram can make us feel so much better. By the way, I love Instagram posts of pets in their Halloween costumes. I know it was like last week already, but just wanted to point that out.
My favorite thing in the world is Instagram posts of dogs trying on, like with shoes on for the first time.
Oh, I know.
They can't figure out how to walk in them. They keep trying to shake them off. Maybe that's cruel. I'm not sure. I think it's adorable.
So previously, we recorded a podcast, I believe episode 40, about how dogs help patients in hospitals feel better and also children to be nicer and more pro-social. Overall, suggesting that having a dog or access to a dog can potentially boost our mental well-being. So this leads to the question of, would this translate to us living longer if we have a dog or know someone who have a dog? So a systematic review and meta-analysis conducted by a team of researchers at the University of Toronto in Canada seek to answer this exact question. So the researchers looked through the literature for observational studies that evaluate dog ownership and mortality, including cardiovascular-related mortality, from 1950 to 2019. So the selected studies compared the number of deaths in dog owners to the number of deaths in individuals who don't own dogs or any pets. Studies that report data for pet ownership without presenting data exclusively for dog ownership were included in the analysis if the majority of pet owners consisted of dog owners. So after finalizing a list of studies that satisfy all the criteria, data were extracted from each study, pulled together, and analyzed. So these data include number of participants, mean age, study duration, follow-up duration, and number of deaths from any reason, and cardiovascular deaths in dog owners and non-dog owners. So in total, 10 studies were included. Together, these studies have almost 4 million participants, which is a pretty big sample pool, with a follow-up window of 10.1 years on average. Their findings: dog ownership is associated with a 24% risk reduction for mortality of any cause and 31% risk reduction for cardiovascular death. In other words, they found an association between dog ownership and lower cardiovascular risk and lower risk of death.
You're 25% less likely to die if you own a dog?
Is
that what you said?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So how does owning a dog positively influence our cardiovascular health? The authors point out that, first of all, owning a dog or like a couple dogs helps us better cope with stress. An interventional study, people with high blood pressure who were randomized to acquire a pet, show reduced response to mental stress after 6 months among the pet owners as compared to the non-pet owners. And interestingly, among dog owners, just the act of petting a dog has been observed to lower blood pressure as compared to other activities, which support the positive impact of dog companionship in reducing cardiovascular reactivity. Another possible mechanism for the longer survival associated with dog ownership is through, surprise, surprise, physical activity provided by dog walking. Or dog running, depending on your dogs, I guess. Dog owners, they walk significantly more and are more likely to achieve the recommended level of physical activity than non-owners. So over this paper, while it did a great job at pulling together data from multiple studies, it does have two limitations. the majority of the studies are observational and not randomized controlled trials, so we can't draw causative conclusions from these studies. Confounding factors like socioeconomic status and overall health status could interfere with the mortality estimates. For example, people with higher socioeconomic status and healthier lifestyle could be more likely to own a dog. The other limitation of this work is that it intrinsically has all the limitations of the individual studies, which themselves have their own strengths and biases. But overall, the authors did a great job at conducting a comprehensive search and putting together a more complete picture of what we know about dog ownership and survival. So yeah, what does this all mean? Dog ownership may actually help us live longer. So the key takeaway is, I guess, if you're lucky enough to have one or a few doggies around, go pet them. If not, it's okay. We can follow dog Instagrams together.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that if you're healthy enough to take care of a dog, you're more likely to own the dog, and you're more likely, you know, you're going to have a longer life expectancy. Like, I mean, I wonder that 25% figure, how much of that seems like there's a lot of correlation there. Maybe not a lot of causation. It's hard to know.
Yeah. Yeah, you remind me of like my friend. So she actually gifted her parents a pug puppy for Christmas a few years ago. And like, funny enough, because they now have a puppy / dog, they have to get more active. And in the beginning, it was a little bit difficult for them because they were not used to like that level of exercise or that level of being active. And yeah, but now they walk the dog once or twice a day, and they've become like so much healthier than before they received a dog from my friend.
Now, I was just saying that I think having a dog, like, you are kind of forced to go into a health routine or kind of like exercise routine outside of your four walls, because the dog really needs to get out of the house, and that may have some effect, like, even if it's correlations, then it still has some degree of effect on the owner's health.
Yeah, I suppose the things like it lowering your blood pressure to pet a dog or whatever, like, that's more, is that maybe that's like that's more directly observed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we know that it's having a positive impact.
Yeah, so like, so come to think about that example of my friend gifting her parents a pug, and think about all the cardiovascular benefits that dog ownership confers from this big meta analysis. I must say it was a very thoughtful gift from my friend to her parents. Yeah, but whether it's a great gift, and should we all be like gifting others like a puppy or a cute dog? Maybe we'll figure out from Anushka's paper.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm spoiling things, but generally they say don't give pets as gifts, right?
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's yeah, because, you know, like, the person just might not be prepared to take care of it. And so, you know, animals that get sent to the shelters, I guess it's more common, you know, if it's been like gifted. I think it's different if you're buying a dog for your child. Buying a pet that you don't have to take care of for somebody else is probably not a great idea.
Yeah, even if the recipient actually said they wanted to get a pet, they may not be actually ready.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, your friend, you know, if your friend bought a dog for their parents, they probably had a conversation about it beforehand.
Yeah, maybe. Like from what she told me, like, it still sounded like a huge surprise to them.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it worked out.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad.
All right. Well, shall we move on to Anushka's paper then?
Okay, so I think that's a very good segue for my paper. So the question that we ended with is that, should we really be gifting out puppies? And then the way you're saying is that you have, it was a surprise, but then if your friend was gifting it to her parents, she knows them well, so then there is this context of psychological distance, which my paper discusses, and it's about how well you know the person and you know what you are gifting. So And now, since the season of gifts are coming, let's think about what we should be gifting our friends and family. So the paper I'm going to discuss today is The Gift of Psychological Closeness: How Feasible versus Desirable Gifts Reduce Psychological Distance to the Giver. And this study was conducted by in collaboration between William Peterson University, Cornell University, University of Pittsburgh, Duke University, and New York University. So just a quote that I really liked from the paper is they have given a situation. So imagine that a friend gave you a gift certificate to a highly rated Italian restaurant that is a long drive away from you on your birthday. And so how does this gift affect how close you feel to your friend? And then imagine another friend has given you a gift certificate to an ordinary Italian restaurant located just a few minutes away. Now, assuming you have known both these friends for the same amount of time and you like both to the same extent, which friend would you feel closer to? What do you think? I would just want to know your answers before I tell out the author's predictions.
So I'm sorry, Nishka, the options were a fancier restaurant further away or a simpler restaurant nearby. Was that what it was?
Right. Yeah, that's the options.
Well, I think that I would like the latter. I would like this. Like, I would like the thing that's more convenient for me better. Just I think it would feel more personal. Like they had thought about my needs more, maybe.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Wen?
Yeah, same thing. Because especially nowadays, I'm too lazy to travel that far away for like a meal.
Yeah, true. So that's what even the authors are predicting. So they say that you would feel closer to the friend who gave you the highly convenient but even lower quality gift certificate than the friend who gave you the high quality but less convenient gift. So with that context, let's dive into the study. Actually, the study has 5 sub-studies included in them. So I'll try to summarize each of them as briefly as possible. So the first study that they conducted, they wanted to see what is the perceived similarity between the gift giver and the recipient. So all of this is happening from the recipient's point of view, because before the study, I think there has been a few studies which have only taken into consideration the gift giver's idea of the gift, but now they are seeing how the recipient feels, because again, the recipient has to deal with the gift more than the gift giver, right? So in the first study, what they did is they appointed some participants from Amazon Mechanical Turk, and they asked all of them the similar questions that I asked you, but in terms of a pen. So they asked, imagine that you are getting a desirable pen, which is like very aesthetic, very fancy, but is heavy, so you cannot really carry it everywhere with you. And then there is another pen that you are getting, which is not so high on aesthetics, but it does its job, you know. So which one would you prefer? And more than that, how similar you will feel to your gift giver in context of which gift you are getting. So this was one part, the first part of the study one. And the second part is similar to the restaurant example, which is the participants imagined receiving one desirable restaurant gift certificate that had a very high rating, but was located around 1 hour drive away from their home. And then they received another restaurant gift, which was like had a very average rating, but it was just 5 minutes drive away. So the participants were asked about, again, how similar they felt to the gift giver. And according to their observations, they found that receiving the feasible gift. So here, the feasible gift is defined as the one which is more convenient for you. So receiving that feasible gift led to the greater feelings of similarity to the gift giver when seen from the recipient's point of view. And they also found that the participants felt greater closeness and connectedness to the feasible gift giver than the desirable gift giver. So this again went with the perceived hypothesis of the authors. Then we move on to a field experiment. So up until this point, these participants were just imagining stuff about like the gift giver is imaginary, the gift is imaginary, and everything. So now in the field experiment, they moved on to a college campus. So here, what they did is they will just, the research assistants will go on finding peers who are moving in the campus, and they will just separate them and question them separately to, ask about, imagine your friend whom you are walking with has given you a gift that is the same pen example, that the expensive one but not so convenient to carry, and the non-expensive one which is again very convenient and not so fancy. And then they ask them how, first they will they ask the same questions about the similarity, but then they also asked about how far do you think your friend is standing from you. So that is the physical distance, not just the mental closeness, but they also wanted to quantify how physically closer they felt when they are asking these questions. And again, they found the similar things, that the recipient who got the feasible gift, actually all of them got the gifts they were imagining they're getting. So the recipients who got the feasible gift felt that their friend was standing physically closer in terms of how many feet away they are standing. So they felt the friend was standing physically closer to them when they received the feasible pen as compared to the desirable pen, that is the high quality pen. So that's this is a very unique study that considers this social connection as well as the spatial distance. And so then they moved on to seeing the perceived spatial distance and gift giver focus in study 3. So here what they did is they found out some students, but this was done an online study where the participants were randomly assigned to imagine receiving again either a desirable pen, that is state of art, or a feasible pen, which is not so state of art, but again that's his job and it's easily portable. So and then they measured the spatial distance by asking the participants to indicate how far they felt in terms of miles, and they also asked that how much they liked the gift. So because now the gift, they want to focus on the gift's quality, or how the desirability or feasibility affects the, how you perceive the gift. Also to examine this more closely, they also asked the participants to indicate the extent to which the gift giver focused on the quality of the gift, that is the desirability or feasibility. Then they also gifted this the pen with the appropriate pen description and asked them, so they wanted to make a control in the situation where they wanted to see if the receiver would really buy that gift for themselves, and wanted to see if that affects their idea of the gift's quality. So they also asked that rate how much likelihood that you will give this to yourself.
Wait, Anushka, so is this still online or is this part of the study in person?
This particular study was online, the study 3. Okay.
Yeah. This is still Mechanical Turk, right?
Yeah. The same unit, but different participants.
So for the audience, Mechanical Turk is an Amazon.com product. And I believe the way it works is that you can set up tasks for people to do online, and then they get paid some small amount of money for carrying out those tasks. And there'll be simple things I remember way back early Mechanical Turk, they were trying to use it to train algorithms to identify like road signs and stuff. So if you were like making money on Mechanical Turk, it might show you like five pictures and you had to like pick which picture had a road sign in it, things like that. And then you would pay like a couple of pennies to do that.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of psychology papers use Mechanical Turk to administer their surveys to like a wide population around the world, because it can be accessed anywhere.
Yeah, although I imagine that because people are getting paid probably very little, like you might not get a real representative sample. Although maybe they also pair that with some survey questions to kind of help calibrate it.
Yeah. Sorry, I got that wrong, actually. The study one had the participants from the Mechanical Turk. The other from the next, like the study two onwards, they are students. But they haven't mentioned from which campus.
That's the other thing with psychological studies is that it's a lot of undergrads in the sample.
Yeah. So I'm hoping maybe from the corresponding author's university, which might be William Peterson University. So I'm not sure because they haven't mentioned, but that's just like maybe. But they are students, like that's what it's mentioned. Like for the study two, they did it on campus, and that was students, college students. And then for study three, they did it online, but the students got some course credit for this one. And yeah, so shall I move on?
Oh yeah, please.
Okay, so when they asked about in this study, how close they felt in terms of miles from their giver. So what they found is participants who imagined receiving a feasible gift thought that the gift giver was significantly closer to them than those who imagined receiving the desirable gift. So this again traces back to the result of the last study, that is, they feel literally physically closer to the gift giver when they are getting the feasible gift. And the more the receiver felt that the gift giver had focused on the feasibility of the gift, the closer they felt to the giver. So the recipient is really focusing on what is the idea the gift giver has focused when they were choosing the gift. So this is very important finding when we are in the future looking at choosing gifts for our friends and family. And then they wanted to see if there was any preference match as an alternative explanation about why would they want a feasible gift, the desirable one. And here again there were students involved in the study, but they got the laboratory credits, so they had to come on campus. And what they did is they randomly assigned the students to imagine receiving either a desirable gift, which is a mini tablet that is state-of-art with high-quality rated design capabilities, but not very portable due to its weight, or a feasible mini tablet that is light and easily portable, but with maybe medium rated capabilities. And both, so they wanted to rule out the cost, because sometimes you'll be like, the more the expensive the gift is, higher the quality or something like that. So they just rule that out by saying both of them cost the same, or like cost in the same range of money. And so what here they found is participants who imagined receiving a feasible gift through the gift giver was again closer than the participants who imagined receiving a desirable gift. So all in all, the last four studies has given us the same idea that if the gift is feasible for the recipient, then it's more likable or like more preferable for the recipient. And again, there is a increased level of interpersonal closeness between the two persons. And the last study, they wanted to get some evidence about the fact that desirability versus feasibility affects the psychological distance. But now what they did was they manipulated the giver's focus rather than measuring as they did in the study 3, what this means is that, so instead of saying it was a different gift, they just wanted to say that they just said it outright that the giver focused on the logistics of the gift, that is a feasibility, or the quality of the gift, that is a desirability. So they just stated that and saw how the participants responded. And again, this study was from the participants who were appointed from MTurk, that is Amazon Mechanical Turk. And here they found that the participants who estimated the gift giver was focused on the low level feature felt that they were closer to the gift giver. That is, if low level feature is a feasibility of the gift. So when they knew that the giver had focused on the feasibility of the gift, they felt closer to the giver than the other instance where the giver focused on the high level feature, that is quality of the gift. So I guess what the listeners can take away from this paper and what the authors are trying to say is that if you are looking to strengthen your relationship with someone, choose a gift that is useful for them, and that would mean you care for them enough to focus on the details, and this would bring you psychologically closer after the gift exchange.
Yeah, that's a great point, Anushka. I do wonder, like, for especially for the last study, and I guess in real life too, what if we gift someone something super fancy and may not be that practical, but then we try our best to like justify it and make it sound practical or feasible. Do you think that would help?
I think it what I like I felt from this paper is it just depends on the level of understanding between the two person here, like the giver and the recipient. So if the giver really knows what the recipient needs and then decides to give that to them, that gift may be expensive. So here the expensiveness or the state of artness may not be that big of a deal, as long as that's what the recipient wants. You know, like if that is what they have been wishing, like for 5 Christmases, and you gift it to them, that maybe like
that's overdue.
Yeah, so that will just make their day. So I think that's what the authors are also trying to say, that it just means that how much the giver is focusing on the need of the recipient more than what they want to give it to them. Like, sometimes we have this idea that I will like this gift and then I'm like, okay, I'll give this to my friend because this is a good gift. So other than that, like more than doing that, if you really want the relationship to deepen, then the authors are suggesting that you care about the recipient's needs more than your own. Actually, they have like this paper. I was looking for like similar papers, and then I found that many papers who focus on how you should be a better manager or how one can focus on the consumer's needs when they are designing the like product lines or ads and stuff, they have referred this paper. So they are also focusing on the fact that whenever you are designing something for another person, you should take their needs and wants in consideration more than anything else. And that would just help you to feel like suppose if campaign really tells about like a marketing campaign about some product which is like solving some of your problems, and you're like, oh yeah, like their presentation is something like an excerpt from your own life, you will feel like, okay, they really know me and I would really want to buy this product right away.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the trick you would use to make your consumers feel closer to you or your product. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting and useful for a lot of areas.
Yeah, that is really cool. I think that kind of emphasizes the need for and the power of the ability to like put ourselves in other people's shoes, especially when we want to do something for them or design something for them. We should take their perspective instead of focusing on what we want the final product to be like.
Right. So yeah, that's all from me. If you guys have any other questions or...
Oh yeah, I do have another question. So for the studies that involve the undergraduate students, did the authors try to control for or like assess the level of closeness between the students in each pair? Because like maybe if they...
Yeah, so they actually did that in terms of like they asked some... They had some extra survey questions, which were like how long you have been friends or like how well do you know your friend in terms of like their race, their background and stuff like that. And they, according to the authors, like that, those factors did not really, were not that significant in terms of, as in like, they did not affect their main observations. And like, even if they were like really close friends, according to those questions. So the questions, so here the authors also say that maybe those questions don't define the friendship, because it's again a very theoretical concept undefined concept, like what friendship actually can be equated to in terms of questions. But what the authors are trying to say here is, even with these questions, like how well you know that other person, in terms of that, those idea that they got from there is not affecting their main observation, that is, they are still feeling closer when they are imagining the feasible gift from the other person. Yeah.
So that's actually so that's a very good thing, in that regardless of how close we are to another person, as long as we put ourselves in their shoes, then they would feel good about the gift and they would feel closer to us.
I actually like the controls that they did for the different study here. Like they have to kind of taken into consideration very like intricate details. Like suppose the one I said before, like the gift liking and preference, like which one you will prefer for yourself. Like when you are saying that you are getting this gift, and would you buy this for yourself? So these kind of questions that they ask, they help them rule out that these are not affecting their perception of the gift they are getting, more than the fact that, like, more than the psychological distance perception, you know? So these controls were really, I think they really covered a lot of bases which factors can influence the study. But like the authors do suggest that in the future they would want to do all of these studies in single group of people, like same group of people, instead of doing it in different studies to see if that still works. But having that group of people who are who know each other for a long time, or so that hasn't been done yet. Like I was looking if the authors actually did find that large group of people, but not yet. But I think that would be a really good, like, large cohort study would really help the readers understand if this, all of these observations really hold true, even when we are doing it, like, all of them at once.
Another thing that I'm thinking is, like, so most of the, if not all of the participants in this study who were not, like, from Amazon Mechanical Turk, they are undergraduate students, right? So do you think that the findings of the study would also apply for, like, an older generation?
I think it will still matter, right? Because we all love gifts, and we all really like when people focus on, like, details. And I think that would hold true for, like, at any stage of our lives. Like, that's just my idea, because, like, if they track these same people even like 30-40 years, they might still just respond the same, because it's just what you prefer, like your preferences about getting the gift you want actually I think becomes deeper as you grow up. Like now I really ask my friends, like, what do you need? Like they'll give me a list of 5 things and I'll choose one of them to give them, and that's like I feel that's the best way to be like to gift them something which is not just going to be a showpiece or not useful for them. So yeah, I think that just because as we grow up, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know, we just become more practical about everything.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
The older I get, the more I appreciate being given a pair of socks. Like what a great
okay, now
gift.
We know what to get you for Christmas.
Yeah.
Or somebody gave me a bag of coffee beans on my birthday. And it was great. It was delicious. Of course they knew that I had a coffee grinder. If I didn't have a coffee grinder, then it would have not been a very thoughtful gift.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they knew you, and that I think that's again a detail they focused on, which
yeah.
I mean it's simple, right? It's simple and pretty intuitive, which is that give thoughtful gifts. Like focus on the thoughtfulness of it and not the monetary value of it.
Right.
I remember my brother getting given a gift. Like this is like when he was maybe like a junior high school or something, and he got a gift from an aunt and uncle, which was a silk shirt. but because it couldn't be, you know, you can't like toss it in the wash, like it also included like some silk cleaner in the package. So yeah. I mean, I desirable, I guess, you know, a silk shirt, but not something he was going to wear.
Wait, has he ever worn it?
This was 30 years ago. Not 30 years. This is at least 20 years ago. This is probably 25 years ago. So I don't remember the details.
Well, I hope he at least, like, worn it once.
I doubt he was going to bother cleaning that. So he probably wore it exactly once. That's our show. Thank you so much for listening. We're always looking for more contributors for Useful Science. If you want to be a part of our team, which is to say helping us find interesting science articles and summarize them and post them to the website, then you can apply to be a contributor. Just go to usefulscience.org and look for the form. And we always appreciate getting feedback from our listeners. You can email us at podcast@usefulscience.org. You can find us on Twitter at usefulsci, S-C-I. You can find us on Instagram at Useful Science. So Useful Sci on Twitter, Useful Science on Instagram. I want to thank our excellent editor, Vivian Lee, and I want to thank the composer of our intro music, Solomon Krauss-Imla. My name is Cameron Spencer. If you want to find me online, then look for my YouTube channel. Just search for USONIC, E-U-S-O-N-I-C, and you'll find the woodworking and metalworking and 3D printing videos that I make.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, Cameron. thank you for listening. So, yeah, if you want to connect with me, I'm on Twitter as well, at Wonder Un. So Wonder and then U as in unicorn, Y as in yellow, E as in elephant, and N as in knight.
You can find me on Twitter with Anushka Microbike.
We'll put that in the show notes. It's not easy to spell. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a very useful week.